Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. Lordy, how they could love.
Going to love this. Just love it.
I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this. And yet, it's said. It comes through. It fires out of me. And even now, in the passion and the, that's here as I confront myself.
Tommy, I have bad news for you today. Little Tommy.
Well, he came up to me and says, Coach, I got diarrhea.
Please. Please.
And if you get into the whole aspect of UFO.
But the cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold. Can I give you a hug? That is a great question. And I love that you're thinking about that. Drink as much milk as your little belly can hold. At all times, drink as much milk as your... Could be chocolate milk. Could be the 2%. But the ideal is the whole milk. That's the ideal. As much as your little belly can hold. Thank you.
Show another Tuesday night here in March of 2019. What are we doing tonight? Tiny crime and teeny punishment. That's what we're talking about. What are the little things that were done? Or that you did, that you got away with, or someone got away with doing to you? Not the big ones, just the little ones. We'll talk about those. And the number, 201-332-3484. We got full phones right now, but that will not stay the case. So call in, be a part of the show. My name's Tom, I'm the host of tonight's episode, and we are going to get this thing started now because it is the best show. So let the best show begin. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
show back. Another Tuesday night here in March 2019, spring. Winter's ending, spring is showing up. Yeah, that's how the seasons would tend to work. That's kind of how it's been going on for a little bit. Oh, the phone number 201-332-3484 here. And tonight we're talking about tiny crime and teeny punishment. Little things. Little things you did or that were done to you. Not looking for major things, looking for the minor ones that you don't talk about, but we're going to talk about them tonight. Yeah, that's what we're going to do, so we will do it. So let's do it, right? What did we just hear? Oh, we just heard the Cheap Nasties. This is an album. Last week we played some Australian rock. Baby Grand was some proto-punk featuring Steve Kilby and Peter Copps of The Church. And that was put out by Hozak Records. And this week we heard the Cheap Nasties, also Australian. This is early pre-scientists. So what do we got here? We got Kim Salmon's in this, and this is great. And Hozak also put this out, Hit and Run. The name of the record, Hit and Run, on the Cheap Nasties album, first time on LP. Hozak does it again. You did it again, Hozak. How do you do it? How do they do it? But they always do it. I don't know how, but they always do. Gotta love them. And that was great. That's the good stuff. And we play the good stuff here. You know, we don't play the bad stuff. Just the good stuff. Not gonna tune in and hear string cheese incident or what else, whatever else you might be terrified to hear. Not gonna hear that. Nah, just the good stuff. Put that in quotes, Mike. Mark, write that down. We only play the good stuff. We only play, and that means none of your garbage either. What? We play the top shelf stuff, not the stuff you want to hear. We're not going to play, Mike. Not going to play Dark Star for 75 minutes. Who's good here, Mike? They're all good. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. They're all good. Best show. Hi.
Hi, this is Tom.
It is. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jack in Chicago.
Jack in Chicago. What's up, Jack?
I was calling in about the topic.
Yeah, what do you got? Tiny crimes, teeny punishments.
I didn't really punish for this crime because it was so teeny. But when I was in college, I have an identical twin brother. Mm-hmm. And one night, my brother came to hang out with my friends, and I couldn't be there because I was out on a date. Mm-hmm. And I guess he had too much fun and got really drunk at a party, and everybody who didn't really know me or know that I had a brother thought it was me.
Yeah.
And so it's not like, you know, I was mad at him, but I couldn't really bring it up to people and say, hey, I have a brother, and he's the one who treated you rudely, because he didn't do anything that rude. But
no, but you still engineered some deception.
By having a brother in the first place?
No, did you tell him to go to the thing?
No, he was going to come up to, like, hang out with me, and I told him I was busy, but he just hung out with my friends instead.
But he never said he wasn't you?
I think he did, but it's more like people who didn't know us. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was a crowded party. I wasn't there. But
so there's literally nothing that happened here except that your brother went to a party you couldn't go to, but he happens to look like you.
He happens to look like me, and it wasn't really a crime, I guess, but it was an inadvertent kind of identity theft, I guess.
Well, did he misrepresent himself?
He didn't misrepresent himself, but I feel like he misrepresented me.
By not declaring preemptively that he wasn't you?
No, ultimately there's nothing that he could have done.
Yeah, so I don't know what he did that would be anything.
He just likes to get rowdy, and I guess he was rude to some people.
Okay.
And people were like, oh, you know.
And they thought someone Jack came up to me rude. And they thought Jack was rude that night.
Yeah. Someone came up to me and said, I heard you, you know, drank too much of the party last weekend. And I said, no, it was my twin brother. And I got a sense they didn't believe me.
Yeah. All right. Well, what would be the punishment for that? Well, what do you think the punishment should be?
Maybe that I would get to
infiltrate his life?
Infiltrate his life? Yeah, I guess so.
And what would you do? What would you do?
I don't think I would be that chaotic or anything because, you know, ultimately, I was talking about him when we were 19. You know, I don't really act like that anymore. I don't know. Maybe send some emails.
Yeah, but you don't have to know when to do that. To send emails.
That's true. You just need someone's password.
Yeah. Now this one might have sailed, buddy.
I don't feel.
Yeah, you might want to just realize nothing really happened that night, other than people thought you were slightly more rowdy than usual.
Yeah, I think this call might have been a dud.
And that's it. No, it's not. This call was like a clearing of the throat.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I've never tried to call in before, and I thought it was less that the topic spoke to me and more that I was thinking, what could I possibly dredge up from my life that has to do with the topic, because I was nervous about calling.
Yeah, don't worry. You did fine. You did fine, buddy.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. You have a grand evening. Best show. Hi. Hello.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, yes.
Hey, all right. Sorry, setting up the, making sure we don't get the speaker feedback.
Oh.
Hi, this is Mac in Brooklyn.
Mac in Brooklyn.
Yes.
What's up, Mac?
Well, this is going all right. I guess we had Jack and Mac back to back. But, yeah, it's going okay. How are you?
I don't know how close I came to just hanging up on you. No idea.
Dude, I didn't mean it.
I actually moved my finger toward it and then just didn't do it. For some reason, that I didn't like that.
Under the wire. All
Mac
right.
And Mac back to back. What are you, John Stone?
Again, yeah, it just happened. Enjoyed hearing you with Todd on starting the marathon off.
Yeah, that's right. I did a thing on the WFMU fundraising marathon, which is happening right now. And I guess who's on now? Nate is on.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Nate's
Right at this moment?
Yeah, I'm telling you, Nate is on, our friend Nate the K. You can always, people should donate, if they're going to support WFMU, do it now during our friend Nate the K's shift. And then, but put in the comments that the best show sent you.
Yeah, get him towards that goal.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Get him towards that goal. So what's going on, Mac? What do you got for me, buddy?
So I have more of a perceived crime, although maybe I would say that it's a tiny crime against me. But I had a band in eighth grade, so mm-hmm. age like 13, 14. And we had, you know, kind of a fight with one of the other members who then left the band, my friend and schoolmate, who then accused me of stealing one of his riffs for a song that we were playing.
How old are you now? You're 13?
Yeah.
And you got accused of stealing a riff.
Yeah, we then stopped being friends, you know, for a little bit because acrimony. But yes, we played a song at the school talent show, and he said that it was a riff that he had written while he was in the band. Mm-hmm. So we had kind of a fight in the public row in the locker area. He then said to me, "Have you ever heard of a poor man's patent?" And then said that he had actually recorded the riff, mm-hmm. Burned it to a CD,
mailed it to himself.
Yeah,
didn't open the envelope.
So that he could prove the timing just in case I stole it later on.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what you should have said? Take me to court.
Yeah, well, I did.
You said that?
Which obviously, you know, didn't actually escalate that way. But he didn't have anything. Also, he showed me the riff, and they were very different.
What's the riff?
I mean, they were punk songs written by a 13-year-old, so obviously.
Sing the riff to me.
All right, so my riff for a song called
Angst. Don't fake this. If you fake this, you're out.
What, the music?
If you start doing a comedy routine with your riff.
Oh.
All right, go ahead.
So we had a song called Angst, very embarrassing. But my song went, you know, and that repeated.
Okay.
His, because he got his guitar out, was,
was he trying to communicate with aliens with that?
I don't know. Dwow, that's my guitar noise.
It's like Close Encounters. You tell him he's got to take it up with Steven Spielberg. He's ripping Steven
Spielberg. I'm sure there are like, eight Bad Religion songs that use both of those things.
Yeah.
But they were not the same. So I was sticking up for the principle of the matter. We then, you know, did the normal thing that children would do. We didn't talk for, I don't know, a week or something, and then he eventually invited me to be a sideman in his new project that was much more intellectual than mine.
And you're how old now? 14?
14, yeah.
How more intellectual could it have been for a 14-year-old?
It was just that
it
was...
Did you have the Monty Python line?
Melodic.
In it?
It was like...
Like, who did it sound like?
I don't know, U2 or something.
So it sounded like, the first band sounded like who?
We wanted to sound like Minor Threat, but none of us could play
fast enough. So that first band sounded like a terrible version of Minor Threat. And then
and then we did some things that sounded like the Stooges, too, because we got into them.
So it had some terrible versions of Stooges in it.
Yeah, some real, yeah. One of my great regrets is that we messed up recording a song at the time. And my friend the bassist sang, and then he got embarrassed about it, so he wanted me to do it instead.
Yeah.
So we deleted that, and then it turned out we couldn't get the memory back on the little memory card in the recording thing. So we did briefly have an unbroken 13-year-old voice doing like an Iggy Pop routine.
And
which would be amazing to have now, but now we just have the guitar.
Yeah.
Which has some overlong guitar solos and, you know, Ron Ashton fashion.
So your band stunk, and then he started a new one that sounded like a bad version of U2.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
He wouldn't call it a band, though. He called it a project.
So he's a, yeah, he was pretentious. Pretentious guy.
Uh-huh.
Pretentious little kid.
Yeah.
What are you doing now?
So
you pals
we did,
with him now? You mend fences? You pals with him now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're still friends. Yeah, I see him when...
Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom. What's up?
Hey. Not a whole lot. To whom am I speaking?
You're speaking to Robert in Edison.
Robert, what's going on tonight?
Not much. I wanted to add something to the topic. You're talking about tiny crimes?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was just pulled off a couple of days ago in Edison on Route 1. Kind of know where that is, right?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Route 1 and Edison. Sure. What's going on?
So, I was going a little too fast.
Yeah.
And I was a little too bright in my eyes. I didn't see the actual, like, speedometer. So a cop pulled me over, and I had the embarrassment to pull over into, I think, a Nissan place. And they had to say, like, do you know how much you were doing? And that's like it's almost like a grandfather saying, like, you know how bad you did? Do you get that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The cop said, you know how fast you were going?
Yeah.
And what did
you know how fast you were going? And that was kind of weird, and I had to stay there for like 15 minutes. Ultimately, they left me off with a warning ticket, which was great.
Okay.
But I, like, the crux of this is that I was shaking so much. Mm-hmm. I was so violently shaking because I did not actually get a ticket since I was, like, I don't know, 10 years earlier.
Okay.
So
the streak's still alive. You did it. You beat the rap.
I beat the rat, yeah. But, I mean, had you ever gotten a ticket?
Yeah, of course I have.
When's the last time you got one?
What are you, a cop? Get off my phone, you rude creep. What a weirdo. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. This is it. This might be it. We'll see how these next three calls go. This might be an early one. This might be a 20-minute wonder. Best show.
Hi, Tom. It's Kat from Raleigh.
Hey, Kat from Raleigh. How are you?
Fine. I mean, I've had some ups and downs in my personal life. I hope the fact that, like, the last time I called, I kind of flamed out wasn't, like, a bad omen, given that you've had a few duds come your way. But I'll do my best.
Don't worry. That's all you can do. All you can do is do your best.
Yeah, also it was kind of a relief that I've sort of figured out that this is way more about stuff like mischief, shenanigans, monkey shines, if you will, rather than actual literal crimes,
yes.
Because otherwise I was going to talk about something rather serious.
Exactly. No, this is just the light stuff. That last guy
calling
about getting a ticket, that was too big. That was too big of a thing.
Yeah, then the one I was going to mention otherwise was definitely going to be too big. But I got a good one instead.
I'm all ears. What do you got? What happened?
Okay, I was a very petty, small child.
Okay.
I was in kindergarten, and I hadn't gotten to be student of the day. And for some reason, I was particularly jealous of this one kid that got to be student of the day before me. I don't think I was particularly zeroing in on him. It's just like...
Go ahead. Hello? All right. What happened there? That's just... I don't know. Best show.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, yes.
Hi, yeah, I'm calling for tonight's, my name's Donald, I'm calling from Brooklyn, and calling for tonight's theme.
What do we got, buddy?
Well, I got a choice between either, for either way, I got a crime committed against me, or one I committed over the course of 2 years, and both of them involved the school I went to, so.
Okay.
All right. So I guess for the crime I committed, I guess. So I was a very broke college student. So I went to a school that had notoriously the worst food in America, according to, I think, one of those, like, Princeton Review or College Review things. We failed the health inspection most years. So I stopped doing...
What school was this?
I have to say this. Fordham. Had mixed feelings about the place, for sure.
Okay, all right.
So after a while, I stopped doing the meal plan, obviously, because it was horrible, but... And I realized it was too broke to usually afford food that was lazy and, quickly done. So I didn't feel too bad about the idea of, like, occasionally just slipping into the cafeteria. But I was too much of a coward to do it, like, the normal dignified way of just walking in. So instead, I kind of realized that when they swipe your card to get in there, if you're making, like, conversation or small talk or whatever, they're usually not looking and just swipe it and leave you on. So they wouldn't see that I had no money on the card.
I can't understand you. Your phone is so tinny, my friend.
One second. Let me fix that.
Is that better?
Yeah, that sounds like a normal phone now.
Right. Yeah, I was trying to use one of those headset things.
Why would you use a headset?
I don't know. You're calling
a show. You're calling it. You don't think I want good audio here?
I thought the audio would be better. I was banking on that. I feel let down by the quality of the microphone there.
Yeah, all right.
But, that's my bad.
All right, you're out of here. Best show. Hello?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, yes. Welcome.
How's it going?
Oh, fantastic. To whom am I speaking?
This is Jeremy in Queens.
Jeremy in Queens. What's up, Jeremy?
Not much. It's been like a pretty... I just found out that my... brother is going to have a daughter.
Okay. Wow.
And it's got me, like, incredibly... I think also, like, the weather changing...
Best show. Hi.
Hi, this is Sean in Madrid. How you doing, Tom?
I'm good. What's up, Sean?
Nothing much. I'm just hanging out. Nothing much is going on tonight.
Okay. What can I do for you, buddy?
I actually have one for the topic.
What
do you got? So like I said, I'm in Madrid. I'm studying here for the semester. And the other night, me and a couple of buddies, we went out to a bar, hanging out. Then I realized it was getting pretty late. So I decided to find my way home, stepped outside, and called myself an Uber. Had my phone in my pocket after I... put it in my pocket after I called an Uber. And I'm standing there waiting for the Uber. It eventually arrives and get in the Uber and I check my pockets and my phone's not there anymore. So I had been pickpocketed here, which is pretty common. So not a huge deal. So, the next day I, phone the police, tell them whatever this happened. And then that very night I go out again with some friends. We go to a restaurant. Get some food, and I'm on my way home, and some guy tries to, he's talking to me. It's pretty common here. People walk up. Guy walks up to me with, like, a thing saying, hey, free discotheque, a free bar here. Like, we can get a free shot. He's walking up to me very closely. And, again, a guy tries to pickpocket my wallet from me. And it's just, and I push him away, but then it's just like, seems all too common here. Seems all too common that people are trying to steal stuff from you.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty much it. I went home.
That's great. That's great. It's right, or couldn't be less on point for what we're talking about. Couldn't be less on point. Here we go. Best show. Hello, best show.
Yes. Hey, Tom.
Yes, hi.
Hi, it's David from Manhattan.
David from Manhattan. What's up, David?
Oh, not too much, but I have a pretty good one for the topic. I thought you might be interested.
So let's hear it. What do you got?
Okay. So I'm basically, this happened a while ago. I was dating my wife at the time, and we were at a wedding in a church, and I had bought these really expensive shoes. Right? Now, I was worried because it was raining that day that the shoes are going to get ruined. Mm-hmm. So I bought galoshes. Now, I'm not a guy that usually wears galoshes, so I kind of felt, you know, a little weird about them. But I spent so much money on the shoes, I figured, let me just get the galoshes. So we go to the church. It's a long wedding. And after about an hour or so, it's over. Oh, but I had taken my galoshes off, right, because I wanted people to see my new shoes. I was really proud of them. So I put the galoshes under the bench. I'm Jewish, so the terminology might not be right on, but I put them under the bench. And the wedding was over, about an hour in, it's pouring outside. I look down and get my galoshes, and they're gone. And I looked at my wife, and I said, I can't believe that in the church, you know, somebody stole my galoshes in the church.
Yeah.
And it was pouring. I ran outside. My shoes got, I mean, they didn't get ruined, but, I mean, they were pretty damaged. And I was just so ticked off at it. So I'm like, you know, I can't believe somebody did this. So about a week later, okay, my wife gets a call from a friend of the family who, by the way, is like this best-selling author who will remain nameless for purposes of this story. But she says to my wife, hey, I heard this great story.
Why would you give me that and then not be able to tell me who it is?
I can't. All right, I guess I can.
No, I don't want to put you out. I just want to let you know you're doing a weird brag that you're taunting me with a brag. That's okay. Just know it. Just know that's what
I didn't mean to taunt. I'll give you.
I don't want it now. It's the last thing I want.
But it wasn't a brag.
Okay.
There was a point to why I was saying she was the best-selling author.
Then go ahead.
Because this best-selling author had this great, shared this great story. She's going to turn it into a short story. It's very spiritual. She said she was so moved by this story. The story was that at that family wedding, a friend of hers was there. He had just bought new shoes, and it started to rain in the church. And he was afraid that, oh, my God, I bought these new shoes. They were going to be ruined. And the service is over. He looks down, and there in front of him, an offering from God, brand-new galoshes, given just to him. And he put the galoshes on. He said he just could not believe his good fortune. And his renewal in God and faith were as strong as they ever were. And he walked out, and his shoes were saved. And
this actually happened? This
actually happened, and my wife said to her, those were David's galoshes. Those are not a gift from God. Are you crazy? And she just paused and said, oh, wow. Okay. Maybe I won't do that story. That was the end of it. And I'm happy to give you her name, Tom, if that's going to make the story better.
No, I don't want it now. I don't want it. Mike wants it, but I'll call Mike back and just tell Mike off air.
Okay.
I don't want it. I don't care. I truly don't care.
Because
this person sounds like a creep, a thief.
Well,
a thief.
Yeah. I mean, just look, I'm not a religious person necessarily, but even if I was, that's kind of a far-fetched story, don't you think?
So they thought that God just dropped some galoshes in the thing, rather than think the more practical thing would be that there's somebody there, they belong to somebody there.
Exactly. So the bottom line is, the guy stole galoshes.
Yeah.
Right? He came up with this cock and bull story that they were a gift from God, and this writer person just believed it. Just believe the whole thing.
The dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. That's literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. That's delusion. That's delusion. Oh, they're my galoshes. God put them there. No. You think God put these galoshes? They're not even in a box. They don't have your name written on them. If God did it, God would have put the name on it.
To this day, I just can't get over it.
This is such a petty... That's sick. That's sick and sad. Equal parts sick and sad. This author should be ashamed of themselves.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I'm glad I didn't give her name then.
Call Mike back, though. All fair. Mike, seriously, I'm not kidding. David, please call
Mike.
Okay,
I will.
Mike,
I'll do that.
Okay?
All right.
All right, buddy. The dumbest thing I ever heard. The gift from God, these galoshes. You wouldn't just think they were somebody else's there? Best show, hi.
Hi, this is Amber from Brooklyn.
Amber from Brooklyn. How are you, Amber?
Good, how are you?
Fantastic.
I have one for the topic, just trying to turn off the show. So, do you want to hear it?
Yes, please.
Okay, so when I was in fifth grade, I lived in Florida with my grandfather, and my class was having this, like, read-a-thon, and it was like, if we read a certain number of books by the end of the week, we get a pizza party. And
okay.
For some reason, my life was just too busy and too hectic for me to read these books. I was just like, could not. So I forged my grandfather's signature on the papers that said I read the books.
Okay.
And no one questioned me about it.
No one questioned you?
No.
Yeah, and you had your pizza.
Yeah, I like literally took something that had my grandfather's signature, and I sat there and I perfectly copied exactly how he, well, what I thought, you know, I thought in my mind that I was doing like this amazing job. Like I thought I could start like signing his checks and stuff.
Uh-huh. And I'm sure.
I was so great at it.
I'm sure you got away with it. You got away with it once.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So what would be that was the crime. You forged, you did some forgery, your grandfather's signature.
Light forgery.
So you could have a pizza party.
Yeah.
What do you think the punishment should be on that? What should the punishment be on that one, Amber?
I don't know, but my grandfather that same year had written a letter to President Reagan about me, saying that I was like this amazing little girl who... Huh?
Amazing forger?
Yeah, an amazing forger. Like, you know, because I wrote this essay about drugs, or like not doing them. And he just thought it was so amazing that I was like 10 years old and being very, you know, an advocate against doing drugs. Mm-hmm. And so he wrote this letter to President Reagan, and then we got a letter back with a picture and like whatever. I mean, it wasn't actually signed by him, but, like, you know, it was like this big deal. I was even in the newspaper for it and stuff. So I feel like that, even on top of it, makes this forgery even worse. Like, my grandfather did this, like, amazing thing for me, and I got in the local newspaper that I forged his signature. So I don't even know what, I mean, no pizza for life?
No, you can't. That's too harsh of a punishment.
Okay.
Did you ever tell your grandfather this?
I had to go eat Toronto pizza one time.
No, that's way too harsh. You can't eat that trash. Toronto trash? What, garbage pizza?
Yeah.
Weird grocery store pizza? When I got that one slice and it had tasted like fish, when it was supposed to have sun-dried tomatoes on it, and then it had a slight, like, sardine taste, I could have crawled up in a ball.
Ugh. And do you even eat fish?
Yeah, I do, but sometimes. I generally wouldn't eat sardines, and I wouldn't eat them on pizza.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't even want to know what that could have been.
Me neither, Amber.
Well, what do you think the punishment should be for forging my grandfather's signature?
Maybe you just tell everybody you're a dirty forger and you'll never do it again. You just say it now.
Okay. I'm a dirty forger and I'll never do it again.
There you go. You have paid the price now. Congratulations.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. You have a great night.
You too. Bye. Bye.
Phone number 201-332-3484. Best Show, hi.
Hi, this is Kat from Raleigh. Apparently my call dropped, and I was relieved that to see on Twitter that I was not, in fact, gomped, so I thought I'd try another.
No, you gomped me. You hung up on me, Kat.
Oh, I'm sorry. That must have been I did something funny with my face.
That's all right. That's all right. You're in the middle of saying you were a petty because you didn't get, what was it now? You didn't get the
student of the day when I was in kindergarten. And so let me continue the rest of that story.
So what happened?
Are you there?
I am.
I guess I just want to make sure that you're here more often so I don't accidentally hang up on you with my face.
I'm here.
Okay, so I was a very petty little kid. I'd focus on this one kid who was got it before me. I didn't have any particular vendetta against him, but it's just I felt this has gone on too long. When's my day? And so I actually remember plotting against him the day before. And so, like, I was coming home from the grocery store with my mom when it's like that old 60s cartoon with the Grinch with that huge smile spreads across his face. That's sort of what I felt at the time.
Sure.
Yeah, and so I got a terrible, wonderful, awful idea. And so the next day, as kindergartners do, we were lining up at the water fountain. And I made sure I was in front of him, the kid who was student of the day. And so what I did was I went to the water fountain, I filled my cheeks up like a chipmunk, and I spat it out on him.
And that was the big, move. That was the big revenge move.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not great. How old were you at the time?
5.
You're 5. That's okay. That has to skate. You learn your lesson with that, though.
And I did get a teeny punishment because I had to write my name on the blackboard with a check mark.
Yeah. No, you paid your price on that. You got caught. Did the kid freak out?
Yes. But then he did something much worse to himself a couple of years later.
What's that?
He jumped off the back of a bench, and he got a big head wound.
Ooh. Is he okay?
I mean, he didn't. It was something that healed. I mean, he's probably fine now, but, like, it was, I mean, like, he just got a big, I mean, I used to say that he broke his head open, but no, he actually just got a big cut on his forehead.
Yeah, that kid, you still in touch with that kid?
Oh, no.
Nah. Well, look, you were 5. You wanted to be student of the day. You didn't get what you wanted. You got a little bit of revenge. You paid the price. You had to write your name on the chalkboard.
Yeah.
Sounds like an open and shut case. Justice was served. That's what I'm going to say, Kat. You did the crime, and then you did the time.
I guess I'm just sometimes, though, I'm a little amused at little me's ingenuity.
Uh-huh. That you actually schemed.
Yes.
Yeah, that's pretty, it's shocking, isn't it? That's what you were like as a little kid. You were actually like figuring out a revenge.
Yes.
Very strong.
On a separate occasion, I wrote a note to a guy who was mean to me with an insult that I cribbed from Calvin and Hobbes because I was reading Calvin and Hobbes at that precocious age.
Mm-hmm. What was the insult?
I mean, well, the insult was pig face, smelly fathead, but I changed it to hathead because he wore a hat.
But so you added a little creativity to it.
Yeah.
Hat head. Pig face, smelly hat head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you softened it with hat, or personalized it with hat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You wouldn't do that now.
Yeah, and what's weird is that for the rest of my schooling career, I was pretty much a goody two shoes.
Mm-hmm. Well, you went through your rebellious stage. You were five. Those were your troubled years. You were five. That's when you were a menace to society.
I never had teenage rebellion because I was so repressed. I had it in my early 20s instead.
Oh, you get it when you get it. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for mine.
All right. Make your own rebellion.
What's that?
Just make it yourself. You don't have to wait.
I'm waiting. It'll show up. One point. I'm going to go nuts. I'll go too far, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have perspective. hit Mike over there with a folding chair.
Well, you do know some wrestlers.
Yeah, I know a few wrestlers. I'm troubled by how hard you laughed at that. Like you want to see, you want to see that.
It's an amusing image.
He would do it to sell some calendars. I know he would do it. If I probably said that he could I'd sell one calendar, if Mike sells one calendar, I'll crack a chair over his head. He'd be like, yeah, let's do it. No. All right, Kat, I'm going to get the phones. I got all the phones lit up. I'm going to go back to the hot phones.
Okay. Have a good all time. Right, and I hope too. I never hang up on you with my face again.
I hope not also. You have a great
night. All right.
Bye.
Right.
Yeah, we're talking about the teeny crimes and tiny punishment. The little things that were either done to you or that you did. And why did I bring this up? Well, because this is what happened to me a few weeks ago. I goes to a pizza place, right? A pizza parlor. To get myself some pizza pie. Not an entire pizza pie. So I goes into this place. And I say, I'd like a pizza pie, but not a pizza pie. I said, I'd like a slice of pizza, please. And I get the money. I think I got two slices. It was my dinner. I got two slices. And a seltzer water. So I go to pay, right? And it comes out to say $5.35, $6.35. I can't remember which one it came out to, but it was 35. It ended on 35 in terms of the coin amount. So I give the guy a 10, and then I get my change back. I throw a dollar in for the guy. Right? Not a cheapskate. That's not... nobody ever went broke tipping. So I throw a dollar into the tip jar, which is at pizza places, is usually made out of whatever they had, like, mayonnaise in. They usually take, like, one of those industrial mayonnaise containers. I throw a single in from the change. And this rat, this bum, throws the change in. He doesn't give me my change. He throws it in the tip thing. I didn't tip you $1.65 for two slices. I'm tipping $1.65. No, you'd be happy with that dollar. He throws the 65 cents in. And I went, yeah. I went, yeah, I didn't want to put that in there. And then the guy kind of hid behind that he didn't speak great English, and he smiled and he's like, fine, take the dumb money. What am I going to do? Why am I rolling over with that? Anybody else? I should go back in there with a bat and trash the entire place, do about $7,000 in damage. Then when it's over, I'll go, yeah, that was 65 cents. That's what you get for taking my 65 cents. Yeah, can you imagine that? Just think about that. That's what the guy did. What do you think of that, Mike? He made a mistake. So Mike's on his side. I like it. Mike doesn't side with me on this one. Nah. Mike. Yeah, until I get all my money? Why, is this a current concern now? I have to, like, worry? This guy threw my 65. I threw a buck in for him. He throws the 65 cents in. Right after it. I never saw anything like it. And I sit down to eat, and there's kids eating at another table, like these, like, 12-year-olds are eating. And these idiots, and let me just say this about restaurants. Just shut the news off. Can you not have the news on? In restaurant, what is that? Are people going to pizza places to get the news? Well, I like to go in and get a slice of pizza, and I just, of course, I'm kind of a news junkie, so I eat a fair amount of pizza, because they play the news at every pizzeria, and every place has a screen now. And this pizza place, they're playing the news. And there's literally a story, no joke, about a child porn ring that was, it was like they were doing like a thing on that in the news that just got shut down. They caught some, it's just like, that's what you have on? People are trying to eat the, like, whatever. I tell you, nobody's got any aesthetic awareness. They just throw the news on. Everybody likes the news. No, they don't. Go to a place I'm trying to eat. I got to look at Sean Hannity's head. Filling up the screen. His head looks like, it looks like, what's his face? MODOK. He's got like a MODOK head. What's the fascination with that while you're eating? Yeah, but that so that's the thing that got me on this thing is they threw my 65 cents in after I threw them a buck. You rat bastards. You rat bastards. Sick world. It's sick. Best show.
Oh, hey there. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing all right. To whom am I speaking?
I'm Nico from Newark, Delaware. And I got to say, the thing about the news at restaurants, I thought the same thing. I'm so glad to hear, like, it's like an echo chamber. But anyway, I'm ready to get down to the topic if you are.
No, but you go to a place and they got Fox News blasting on the thing.
Oh, God, I hate that. Yeah. And you're trying to, like, escape, you know, you just want a burger or something, and you're listening to the, you got the news on, like, put Cartoon Network on or something, like, something nice. You know what I mean?
Exactly, you know, and then the other weird one is when you go to a place and you're eating at a place and they have, like, Food Network on, and the food's better on the screen than the place you're eating. You're just like, yeah, you guys might want to shut that off. It's only reminding it's only just reminding everybody that you guys sell slop here.
Yeah, and also, I just got out of a restaurant, right? I just got out of a wing place, right? And they have TVs everywhere. And, like, what's on the big TV? Another ad for another wing place. I mean, how crazy is that? I mean, you'd think they'd have, like, their finger on the button for those. You know what I mean? Turn the screen off for those.
You'd think, right? You'd think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild, man.
Why don't we start a campaign where we make places shut the news off on the TVs?
Just don't have a TV. Or, I don't know, make your own content.
All right, well, that's wildly unrealistic.
Well, I mean, is it, though? I mean, like,
yeah, it is.
Amazon's
it
got
is.
Their own place. Like, everybody's got their own.
You're right. No, Amazon's got their own original programming. So why doesn't Sal's Pizza have their own network? All right, come on. Like, just use your head a little bit on that.
I'd watch the Sal's Pizza content network.
I'll say this, though. Wait, hold on. I just came up with an idea.
Oh, let's hear it.
Yeah, you're going to hear it. All right?
All right.
What do you think? Oh, yeah, or it is all right.
Okay.
You're high right now, aren't you?
I'm not.
I'm just giggly. You're just having a good time.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad. You sound a little.
I've actually been a month sober.
Good for you. Good for you.
Thank you.
What about this? Yeah, you can't expect Sal's Pizza to have its own, its own private original programming. But what if we start a network called the Pizza Channel?
Oh, yeah.
Can I finish?
I'm on board. Go ahead.
Get off my phone. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I got an idea. All right. Yeah, it is. Okay. Now I don't want to do the Pizza Network. It would play in every pizza parlor could play it. It would be pizza themed programming that would play, that would make people want pizza. It would entice you to like eat more pizza. Like, you know what I mean? What would you think about that, Mike? Have one for bars too. Yeah. Just like images and things about people pouring drinks and stuff. I think the pizza one's the real winner. Naturally, Mike has to do his own spin on things. Do one for bars. This Pizza Network, that's a big, I think that's a legit idea. There's thousands of pizzerias. Yeah, it doesn't have to be expensive programming. I'm not saying it's expensive. It's just so you just get film some people cutting slices up and doing an interview with the owner of a pizza place. Yeah. Maybe putting a sub, maybe getting a chicken parm ready, right? A special series, an investigative report on the history of the chicken parm. Garlic knots. Breaking news about garlic knots on the Pizza Network. Hey, it's AP Mike here. For the Pizza Network. I'm here at Ray's Pizza. I got 3 garlic knots for $2. These garlic knots are great. They're a little oily. But they're great. They're good oily. Best show.
Hi, this is Sarah in Kingston.
What's up, Sarah? How are you?
I'm doing okay. I got something for the topic, sitting with someone talking about what I would tell you, because a lot of people were talking about things that they did when they were kids, which is obviously, I think probably everything I did from the time I was like 6 until 17 was probably qualifies for the topic, actually. Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it. Give me a good one.
Okay, so I was probably 13 or 14, and I didn't have a very good relationship with my sister, and we would do things to each other to, get back at one another. And at one point, I went into her room and used a pair of scissors to cut a tiny hole into everything that she owned.
Yeah, that's bad.
Meaning,
That's bad.
All of her clothes, her comforter, anything you could think of that was cloth had a hole in it.
Yeah. And how upset was she?
She was pretty upset. I mean...
How upset were your parents? Yeah. Sarah?
Yeah.
How upset were your parents?
Oh, I'm sure I received a beating. I'm sure that was a proper response for something like that. I'm sure that was the first response. And then from there, the restitution probably continued. But I have to say, you know, as an adult, the most lasting restitution was just feeling like being the person who's jerky enough to do something like that.
Yeah, that's not a great one. That's that one's less fun. Because you did it to all the stuff.
Everything. Every single shirt. Every time she put a shirt on, it had a hole in at least one of the arms.
And how old were you at this point?
I was 13 or 14. I couldn't have been older than
that. Angry kid. Angry kid, huh?
That's right.
Angry kid. So how did your sister retaliate?
She probably told one of her friends. She had a lot of, like, metalhead dirtbag friends, so it probably ended up being involved something like that. I don't remember quite exactly what happened, but she would, you know, humiliate me at school in front of these guys that she dated, these kind of metalhead guys, so then my retaliation would be to go into her room and exact whatever punishment I could think of.
This was you kind of lashing out. Well, this was you retaliating.
Right, exactly.
For her humiliating you in front of metalheads?
Yeah, but I still think, like...
How would she humiliate you in front of metalheads?
Well, the way that you would when you were a teenager, you know, just...
Be like, well, you're not metal? You'd question their metal, their authenticity?
Not even anything that creative, just, you know... She would curse at me or whatever, you know, give me the middle finger or something like that when I walk by.
Sure, sure.
Or like.
Yeah, that gotcha. I gotcha.
But it was just more the social hierarchy of it that made me feel like if she was going to do that to me in front of people, she would humiliate me in front of them. I would exact my revenge in a more private way.
All right, we're getting here, Mike.
What's up?
Mike just came in. apmike.bandcamp.com just came in.
Yeah. I'm thinking of having my name changed to that.
So
legally.
How many... This guy ran off more of these calendars?
Now they're almost all gone.
They are?
People have come through. I appreciate everybody who's placed an order. Yeah, they're on sale. They're still on sale. In April, they officially become collector's items, if they're still around.
So you'll stop selling them in April?
No, I'm just calling them collector's items in April.
Okay, okay.
Because you missed 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay. But this story reminded me of a revenge scheme one of my brothers laid for me, in which he ripped out the last page of many books of mine.
Uh-huh.
So it was like a sort of a slow burn that, you know, I would stumble upon years later.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reading a book and then all of a sudden I get to the last page and it's just
gone.
You know?
That's the worst thing. That's unimaginable.
Yeah. So this kind of...
A book you can remember getting to that point?
I think it was... I was reading all these paperbacks of movies that were out. Mm-hmm. So I think it was like Papillon, which is a long book. You know, it's a big book to begin with.
Yeah.
And it's very engrossing. It's a great book. Mm-hmm. And then literally, the last page is gone. I'm like, you dirty rat.
That's insane.
Yeah.
But
kids, revenge schemes.
Yeah, that's a good one, Mike. Yeah. And apmike.bandcamp.com, still going strong?
Still going strong.
Still got, how many calendars do you have left?
A handful.
A handful.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's got a handful left. You can still get them. Well, thank you for the call, Sarah.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. Yeah, this can you imagine cutting holes in all the clothes? That'd be bad. And I was so close to walking out. I'm getting close. We're getting close. Best show. Hi.
Hi, is this Tom?
It is.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. Welcome to the best show. To whom am I speaking?
Thanks. This is Gabriella from Wilmington, Delaware.
Gabriella, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm good.
Good. Well, I've got like a little topic if you would like to hear it.
I would like to hear it.
Great. So, like, when I was little, like, you know those little role-playing games like Webkinz and Neopets and, like, Club Penguin?
Uh-huh.
So, I had to be, like, I was younger than 10 at this point, right?
Okay.
So, my friends would be not, like, very inept at, like, technology and stuff, so they would ask me to type in, like, their usernames and passwords and stuff. Which, on their end, was not very smart, but
now,
anyways,
now, yeah, yeah,
I would,
now,
yeah.
Now you've got all the info.
Exactly, so I would be happy to do that for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, now, I would do this, and I wouldn't think much of it until I realized that these games had, like, a messaging service, or, like, you could trade items with other players.
Okay.
So, I would go home, and I would log in on their accounts and send, like, their stuff and their money to my own account.
Yeah.
And I did this for, like, maybe a couple months. And none of them really mentioned it to me or, like, caught on, I guess.
Uh-huh. Now, it's so, money. Like, when, when you say the money and things like that, you're just talking about in-game things. You're not actually draining somebody. It's not actually 99 cents hitting their at a time.
Yeah, no, definitely not. This isn't really actual money. This is, you know, like virtual furniture that you'd put in your house, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they didn't catch on until there was this one time where I accidentally, like, slipped up on my receipts, you know? And they were like, wait a second.
Yeah.
But, you know, after that, they never mentioned it, so.
So you got away with it.
That's my own little. Yeah, I got away with it.
Beat the rap. You did it, yeah. Gabriella.
It's not my proudest moment, but there you go.
What do you think the punishment should be for that?
Honestly, that's, like, one of the worst crimes you could do as, like, a Webkinz extraordinaire, you know? So I think, honestly, if they took all of my stuff, my virtual stuff, I'd be like, you know what? You're right. Go ahead.
But you're still not playing Webkinz.
Yeah, no. Today I'm not.
What can you do to make to make this right?
You know, if I was still in touch with these friends today, maybe I'd buy them lunch or something like that. But
I say you reach out to all of them.
Yeah.
And say, I stole your furniture, your virtual furniture, back when you guys wanted me to log in. I apologize, and I would like to take you all on a tropical vacation.
That sounds pretty good.
All expenses paid.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you think about that?
If I could do that right now, I definitely would.
Yeah. You say, it's all expenses paid. I just need your login. I just ask them again for it. See how dumb they are.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah, except for this time, it's like, can I have your bank login first?
Yeah. I just need I'll help you with that. No, I think that one, the statute of limitations has worn off on that one.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yes. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for listening to me.
Bye. Best show. Hi.
Yeah. Hi, Tom. This is Kevin in Seattle. How are you doing tonight?
I'm good. What's up, Kevin?
Well, I have one for the store for the topic.
What do you got, my friend?
Well, Kat from Raleigh's called. You said something about justice was served, and so I have a small crime, and then a punishment that followed later, and I want to know if that little punishment was just enough, or okay. Maybe too harsh.
Let's hear it.
Okay, so in sixth grade, I was a percussionist in our school band,
mm-hmm.
and for one concert, we were going to play the George of the Jungle theme song.
Which, sing it for us. Give us a little taste.
Well, I'll get, so the timpani part is what's real key. So I can give you that part. It goes boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
That's it. But that part was coveted amongst all the fellow sixth grade percussionists. And so our band teacher said, okay, whoever plays the most minutes and records them on their practice log, they'll get to play the timpani part for the George of the Jungle theme song.
Yeah.
And so I came up with really inventive ways to define practicing. And, you know, I would go up in my room and listen to music and say, well, hey, you know, I'm thinking about instruments and I'm thinking about the drums. Other times I would just flat out lie on my practice log. And then, so I filled up this practice log with all these falsified practice minutes, had my parents sign off on it, and, was rewarded the timpani part.
But you had actually not done any of it.
No, I did not deserve that timpani part unless the other percussionist also didn't practice at all.
How close were how close was somebody to beating you out?
Oh, I think that's what's so shameful about this. I think I so over exaggerated what any sixth grader would actually practice that it couldn't be believable. So I don't think there was anyone actually close. I mean, those other kids practiced like normal kids, so they actually had real minutes, but you know, I was not thinking that far ahead.
So were you not good enough to do it when the moment came because you hadn't actually practiced?
Well, no, I mean, the part was pretty easy, even for a mediocre percussionist for like me in sixth grade. So I mean, I was able to play it, and I practiced, you know, during rehearsals with the whole band. So I probably played it a good four or five times, and I could perform it at the concert.
Mm-hmm.
But the punishment. That was the tiny crime.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess it may not have been tiny. I haven't been able to listen to the rest of the show, so I, you know, maybe that was pretty particularly heinous.
Mm-hmm. So what was the, but no one ever knew this. No, you got away with it.
So I got away with it and was actually rewarded for this because of my like overall practice minutes that I had lied on. I got to be a part of the sixth grade jazz band and play a drum set, which I did. I did okay. You know, we had like regular after school practices, so I could, you know, I held my own. And then because of my participation in the sixth grade jazz band, a friend of the family who was in the band at our local church asked if I wanted to play drums for the like Wednesday night kids church stuff.
Okay.
And so that was in front of a lot of people and, you know, at this point I had reached my limit of what I actually could do. And so the punishment came down when in front of this group of people, I just completely fell apart on the drums, couldn't keep tempo. The bass guitar player kept turning to me and like kind of like nodding the neck of his guitar to the beat of the song and trying to like help me out. And
because you were a fraud. Because you were a fraud.
I was a total fraud. And so the punishment happened. And so I think that, I guess that's the question is what was
it? Yeah, no, that's pretty bad. That's pretty humiliating. You ate it in front of everyone and they knew you were a fraud, right?
Yeah, yeah. But I was able to play the George of the Jungle part.
Uh-huh. But it caught up to you. It caught up to you at a point.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's what I guess. Was it? Yeah.
Well, this is what your punishment.
Was it just a little too harsh?
Is anybody else there with you? Is anybody else there with you?
No, it's just me and the dog.
This is what you're going to do.
Okay.
Get a couple spoons. Right now.
Okay. I'm going. I just had to buy some spoons from Goodwill. When I moved, I only brought two.
Oh, okay.
So now I've got more. Okay, I've got two spoons now.
Get those spoons.
Okay.
You're going to bang out the George of the Jungle theme on your head with the spoons.
Right now.
Set the phone down so you can hear this.
Okay, I'll put it on speaker. I'll try to make that close to my head.
Just as hard as you would have done the, just as hard as you drummed it too. Well, not just as hard. No, I don't want you to get concussed.
Well, yeah, these are.
I want you to feel. You should feel it a little bit. You should feel it a little bit.
So I'm gonna. I pulled my stocking cap over the side so that I kind of have two tones. I'll hit my head, then the stocking cap.
That sounds great. Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Okay. Was that audible?
Yeah, no, but that was not the whole thing. You didn't play 3 seconds of George of the Jungle.
Oh.
Give us a little bit. Come on.
Okay. Here we go. How's that?
Yeah, it was all right, but that's your punishment. All right, you're done. Okay. You are forgiven.
Thank you.
It's weird. Weird what kids will do. That's Squid and the Whale stuff. That's Squid and the Whale stuff, that kid. It's like that weird kid in Squid and the Whale. I'll check out the whatever line I want, Mike. You don't tell me what to do. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Evan in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Evan in British Columbia. In Vancouver, yes. British Columbia, Canada. What's up, Evan?
Yes, sir. Well, I actually wanted to comment on your incident at the Pete's Parlor, and I also had my own little thing for the topic.
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, I thought, just listening to that, it's so incensed that I feel like maybe since he took your money, you own that pizza, or they bought that pizza back from you. You should have stuffed that pizza right into their tip bucket.
I should have just dropped the pizza in, yeah. I should have just dropped it in, smeared it all over their money.
All over the dollar bills and change and everything.
Or I should have just taken, I should have done something. Part of me thinks I should have just straight up trashed the pizzeria. Like brought it low to where it would be, where they'd have to shut down for a few days. You know what I mean? Just take like a bat to the pipes or whatever.
You know? Dollar for dollar, here's your pizza back. You bought this slice back from me. Take one of the two, stuff it right into that tip jar.
Or I should have just taken more change and then thrown it on the other pizza they had. Although these guys would pick it off and still sell it. They're not going to throw that pizza out.
No, they're not.
They're called Money Pie. My favorite Beatles song, Money Pie. Oh, boy.
Money Pie.
Yeah. So what do you got for me, Chief?
Okay. I had something, and I don't know if it's particularly a crime, but it feels criminal.
I got a phone call a couple of months ago from my local power company or hydro company, which is the only one in service. So if I have to have power, I have to pay this particular company for my power. And I got a phone call from a guy, and he said, oh, we made a mistake. Our guy tapped into your neighbor's property, and I moved to this place about a year ago. And he said, oh, we've tapped into your neighbor's property. We've only now realized it, and you now owe us $800.
Uh-huh. For energy that your neighbor had wrongly paid for?
No, for their miscalculation and where I lived, and then having to do the transfer of whatever power I used compared to theirs. And I will preface, my wife's excellent with paying bills and figuring out what we need per month to get our bills in order. And so now all of a sudden he said that, oh, I owe $800 excess for a year and a half of charges. And for most phone companies or something, if somebody makes a mistake, you can kind of muscle them or, big time them or whatever to tell them they should eat it. But for this particular case, you cannot do that because they're the only game in town.
Yeah. So what did you do?
Well, I basically had to eat crow and unfortunately you can't go without power, so I had to submit to their mistake. But I can't help but think that the guy who initially did the service to put our power or figure out where our power came from, I can't help but think he, is with the side of his Tim Hortons coffee is a racist joke, and he's some chucklehead that's now cost me, an immediate $800 that I could have.
Your money. But you don't know who the guy was specifically.
No, it's some serviceman.
Yeah.
That's probably, like I said, serving up racist jokes alongside his Tim Hortons coffee every day.
You're filling in some blanks on that one.
Well,
You're kind of rounding up to say the guy who made a mistake is also a racist.
Yeah, well, and justice should be served across the board.
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you. Well, I think you guys, I don't know what to tell you on that one, man.
Yeah, eat it, chow it.
Yeah, I think you did. Sorry, buddy.
I did. Thanks, Tom.
Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom. What's up? It's Rob again.
What's that?
What's up? I am willing to do another tiny crime for you.
All right, what's that?
Okay. Now, I used to work for, a kind of large Halloween company. And I was the assistant manager, and within my assistant or my manager, at the end of the day, at the very end of the day, we would have to throw out costumes. So we kind of stole them.
You'd throw out costumes? Why? Are they made of food?
No. They would have gloves removed and stuff like that, and they couldn't be sold.
Okay. Gotcha.
To other people. But what we would do is we would actually contribute everything, and we would put them to people that didn't need it or had not had those costumes. So the less fortunate.
Okay. All right.
Gotcha. So that's $300 worth of at least stuff just getting thrown out in the trash, and we'd have to scurry back around the building to do that, black bag it, and then do that.
Yeah.
So, I think, charitable?
Yeah, well, if they were getting thrown in the garbage, you could do whatever you want with them.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is that they weren't
It was not advised to do that.
Wait, so what were you doing with these costumes?
We had to throw them out.
Yeah, because they were missing certain elements.
Exactly.
But then you would go in the garbage and do what? Or
we'd package them up, and because they were fully formed, not actually like within any garbage, but we'd just put them towards charities.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's a good deed.
Yeah. And sometimes as a little rebar or a sidebar, I would actually take some batteries from the actual store and some bats. Because why not?
So you stole those, though?
I did.
Yeah.
I did steal those.
You grabbed them. They stuck to your hand. Not your greatest moment.
No, not my greatest moment. But you know what? I'm happy about it, though.
Why is that? You didn't like the job?
Oh, I hated the job.
Well,
I hated the job so much. Do you know what it's like to have, and I'm going to leave you off with this. I will say is that a moment is that you have to work on Halloween. At a Halloween job, there's like a good 100 people in front of you, and you have to do the cashier. One person comes up to you. Everybody else is good, right?
Yeah.
Everybody else is good. But they're like, well, I have this pair of teeth, that vampire teeth, that is worn. Well, ma'am, did you wear it? Yes, I did. Well, it doesn't fit. And then she throws it at you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like you probably shouldn't work at a Halloween shop.
Oh, no. No.
If that's getting to you, you might not want to be in a Halloween shop.
Well, I mean, I don't anymore.
Yeah, no.
But
you lashed out by grabbing some batteries.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, all right. Well, you did what you had to do.
Yeah.
All right, you have a great night. What's this thing you sent me, Dudio? Dudio sent me a thing. Here's my crime. Terrifies me.
There's a few things to remember when hunting game in the mountains of South...
Oh, I can't. All right, let's slow down on this. This is, how old is this?
16 years.
16 years ago, Jason recorded this. This is a commercial that aired?
Yes.
And this was where? In
New River Valley area of Virginia.
Okay, in Virginia.
There's a few things to remember when hunting game in the mountains of Southwest Virginia this fall. On the backside of Pilot Mountain, there's still an old woman who'll shoot you for crossing her property without permission. If you see a lot of beer cans recently thrown in an area, well, that's Virgil. Best not to hunt near there. And for the best in hunting gear and supplies this season, it's Super Shoes in Christiansburg. Not only the best in footwear, but also coats, ammo vests, and all camo and blaze orange you'll need. From hand warmers to deer lure, you'll find it at Super Shoes. And deer don't lure. Forget...
From hand warmers to deer lure, you get everything you want. This hunting shop. All right, let's...
All camo and blaze orange you'll need. From hand warmers to deer lure, you'll find it at Super Shoes. And
Super Shoes. Hey, man. And that accent you're doing. That's an insult to your fellow people of West Virginia. You're pretending to be like from the mountains. A mountain man. I mean, look, you were from West Virginia, and that's where a lot of, like you knew a lot of guys who talked like that. But you didn't. Hey,
there's a lot of things you got to understand when you're going to go hunting. You see a pile of beer cans? That's Virgil. You might not want to hunt over there.
Don't forget, you can get your hunting license at Super Shoes, too. Don't get caught without yours this year. With brand names like Rocky, Browning, and Timberland, at discounts to 10 to 50%, Super Shoes can outfit you for the nastiest.
Because this guy, just so you know, Dudio, his name is Jason in real life. He did voiceover stuff for different radio shows out in Atlanta and West Virginia, and it was like his thing. So that's why there's ones of him talking about doing chicken impressions and then...
There's a few things to remember when hunting game in the mountains of Southwest Virginia this...
Did you write this? I did not. You didn't. They just dropped this copy in front of you. And you produced it, though.
Yes.
So you came up with it. Was that your guitar playing?
No, it was
a
library. Okay. There's a few things to remember when hunting game in the mountains.
There's a few things to remember when hunting game in the mountains of West Virginia. Southwest Virginia.
There's a few things to remember when hunting game in the mountains of Southwest Virginia this fall. On the backside of Pilot Mountain, there's still an...
Pilot Mountain? What is this? The Petticoat Junction? Nice old reference.
Old woman who'll shoot you for crossing her property without permission.
There's an old woman that would shoot you for crossing her property. Without permission.
If you see a lot of beer cans recently thrown in an area, well, that's Virgil. Best not to hunt near there.
How long did this take you to make?
Probably 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Yeah.
Because it's 1 minute long. So you recorded it probably a few times and you laid some bird sounds, some nature sounds, laid a little bit of free use guitar playing, and then some random gunshots. Hey, Mike, did you know that there's a few things you might want to know when you're going hunting in the mountains of Southwest Virginia this fall? There's an old lady shoot you for crossing across her property without permission. Bang!
And for the best in hunting gear and supplies this season, it's Super Shoes and...
Could you imagine Dudio walks into Super Shoes trying to get noticed? Like, worried that they're not going to know who he is, that he's, like looking for the Super Shoes discount?
Hey, everybody. Hey, it's me.
He'll be there. He'll be like, well, you know, I actually did a couple, I did some Super Shoes advertising.
You did?
And then he goes, sprays a little mist in his throat. Little throat coat.
Me.
And he goes,
there's a few things you might want to know when you're going to go hunting in the mountains of Southwest Virginia this fall.
And,
yeah, you're the guy from the radio commercial. Yeah, I'll give you an extra 5% off on your hunting license.
Missionsburg. Not only the best in footwear, but also coats, ammo vests, and all camo and blaze orange you'll need. From hand warmers to deer lure, you'll find it at Super Shoes.
What is deer lure? I want you to go get some deer lure and pour it on your head. That's your sentence for this.
And don't forget, you can get your hunting license at Super Shoes, too. Don't get caught without yours this year.
With brand names like Rocky, Browning, and Timberland, at discounts to 10 to 50%, Super Shoes can outfit you for the nastiest of weather this season. So when the crazy old woman has you in her crosshairs, don't freeze up. Keep warm with Super Shoes.
Wait, shoot her back? Yeah. When the old woman's got you in the crosshairs, don't freeze up. Yeah, shoot her back. It's like Boogie Nights. It's like the end of Boogie Nights, not the
end. When the crazy old woman has you in her crosshairs, don't freeze up.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
When the crazy old woman's got you in the crosshairs, don't freeze up. Mow her down.
Best show.
Hello.
Hello, hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi. I'm just speaking to Aubrey.
Aubrey.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Aubrey?
Good.
What's going on tonight, Aubrey?
Well, for the last 20 minutes, I've been trying to call you, so.
Well, we're talking now.
Mm-hmm. My dad said, just give up, but.
No.
Never listen to him.
No, your dad is wrong. You did it. You got to the. You got on the show. Is your dad there? Is your dad nearby?
Yeah, he's downstairs. He's JD.
This is what you. What's your dad?
JD, the guy who was talking about paddling.
JD from the Sure Shot. JD and the Shred.
No.
Okay.
JD, my dad's JD, who called you another time about talking about him.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. This is what I want you to do, if you could do this for me. How far away is your dad? Could you run near him now?
Yeah. Yes.
How close are you to him?
I'm just literally walking downstairs.
Okay, you're walking down the stairs. Go slowly. Go slowly.
Okay.
How far away is he now?
Okay, I'm in his room right now.
Does he see you?
Yeah.
This is what I want you to say to him. Hey, Dad.
Okay. Hey, Dad.
Who's got two thumbs and is on the best show?
Who's got two thumbs and is on the best show?
And now point at yourself with your two thumbs. Go, me.
Me.
And then say this. And get ready to run out of the room when you say this one. You ready? You told me to give up. I didn't give up. Wrong again, Dad.
You told me to give up, but didn't give up. Wrong again, Dad.
Now run. Run!
Oh no, he. I did it.
Run!
I did it, and back in my room.
Good.
He's never gonna find out.
No. Wait, he's not?
Unless he listens to this.
Yeah. So what's going on tonight?
Well, my brothers are asleep, and they're jealous that I got to call you, so.
Yeah, you got to call in. Do you have school tomorrow?
I do. My little brother does it because he's off this week and next week.
What grade are you in?
I'm in fourth grade.
Okay. Might be time for bed soon, though, right?
Mm-hmm. I want to stay up all night.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna, what made you call? Do you have something you want to tell me?
Well, I kind of wanted to rant about, Samsung and Yahoo.
Yeah? You want to rant about it?
Yeah.
What are you gonna rant about? I'll let you rant. You just rant. This is what I'm gonna say. You just rant now. Go ahead.
Okay. So, Yahoo, you don't really need it because we have Gmail, and you can just use Gmail instead of Yahoo, which I personally think is better. So you just use Gmail. And for Samsung, it's kind of a ripoff of Apple because they made phones like Apple, and Apple should be their phone company. But I guess Samsung's a little good because they also sell other products besides mobile and computer devices. But I like Apple a lot better.
Yeah. I'm not nuts about any of these companies.
Yeah. But I like Apple the best.
You do?
Yeah. But except the iPhone X because it's too expensive.
Yeah, well, the stuff's too expensive. People can't afford it.
That's why my dad kept his phone.
People can't afford the stuff. My mom did too. Right? There's a lot of people who can't afford these things.
Yeah, they're too expensive. That's why my dad got me iPhone 5.
That's fine.
He got it off Facebook Marketplace.
Good for him. Does the phone work?
Uh-huh.
That's all you need. That's all you need. You don't worry about the new phone. You can't worry about having the new thing. You know what I mean?
The kids tried to brag to me one time that I had an older phone, but then I said, "Does your phone even worth it?"
That's a bad thing to get caught up in is trying to make people feel bad because they don't have the newest thing. That's not good.
They tried to steal my friend's scooter anyway, so I don't think they have much money to buy a scooter anyway.
No, you don't want to hear about these kids. They steal scooters.
Yeah, it's not nice.
No, it's not. To steal someone's scooter, that's not nice.
Yeah.
I'm with you. So what else is going on?
Well, my friend came over today.
Okay, what did you do?
We scooted outside, and a few weeks ago.
You skated outside?
We scooted on a
scooter. Scooted, okay.
Yeah. And a couple weeks ago, I'm kind of glad I have a scooter now, because a little kid stole my scooter. Everyone's trying to steal my scooter these days.
Why are they trying to steal your scooter?
It's the best one.
Is that
It's a blue, and it lights up.
You have a blue scooter that lights up?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I think I want to steal your scooter.
Steal it. But he was only like 5, so like...
He's not going to get
I don't
far.
Blame him.
Yeah, no, he doesn't know yet.
Yeah, we went to his parents' door, and then we said, "Hey, did your son steal our scooter?" And they said, "I don't believe so." And then the day later, that my best friend found the scooter in their garage.
Well, there you go.
Got revenge.
You got it back, though, right?
Mm-hmm. That was the one I shared with my brothers. And so my mom made me pay for it because my brothers would be sad.
Yeah. I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
So you should probably go to bed now, right?
Yeah, I should. My dad won't let me stay up past 10.
Yeah, you're getting pretty close.
My real bad time is 8:30. But since the time change happened, it doesn't really help that we are used to the 8:30 schedule.
Yeah. Now, you'll figure it out, though. He'll figure it out. You'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to get some sleep. It helps. It helps, it helps your brain.
So I'm not crying in the morning.
Yeah, you don't want to cry in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Considering the school is making me wake up at 6 o'clock.
Oh, brother. A.M. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you go get some sleep. I'll talk to you soon. You call anytime you want, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Have a good night. Bye.
Goodbye.
Best show. Hi.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going all right. Who am I speaking to?
This is Brad in Portland, Oregon.
What's up, Brad?
Hey, I was just, I was still talking about little crimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? It's a little crime. It's very embarrassing to me. But I've been priving. Can it be a crime against yourself?
Yeah?
Yeah. I've been depriving myself of King Crimson my entire, let's say, like, the last 15 years of my life.
Yeah, you couldn't get it. You didn't get on board, huh?
Get this, though. It's even more embarrassing than that. When I was, let's say, remember when VH1 was having all those, like, best bands of the aughts or whatever?
No, I don't.
All right, well, they had, like, the best metal bands, whatever.
Yeah.
Up until last week, I'm 33 now, up until last week when you've been talking about King Crimson, I thought you were talking about King Diamond.
Yeah, no, you were wrong on that. That was a
yeah, I was very wrong. So the entire time I was like, oh, Tom normally has good taste, but I can't follow him on this one.
No. What did you listen to from King Crimson that got you on board?
Red.
You did it right, buddy.
Yeah, it's the best thing going.
Good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, I listened to Starless one time in my headphones. I was on board.
Yeah, you did it, buddy.
I was on YouTube, and then it took me to that, and then it started playing that Lennon and Claypool thing afterwards.
Yeah, John Lennon's son, Sean, has a band with the guy from Primus.
Yeah, it bummed me out.
Yeah, it don't sound so good, huh?
No, it's not so hot.
Yeah.
But well, the thing is I feel like I was depriving myself. The crime was, is I didn't do any research.
Yeah.
And deprived myself for probably, I don't know, as long as I've been listening to the show or longer.
Well, look at you now. Look at you now. Look at you now. You did it.
Yeah.
You done did it.
I'm living my life. I'm loving King Crimson. The only critique is that they're not on Spotify, which I need to learn how to buy CDs again and albums again. But
yeah, you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out. Go get the stuff. Go buy the
record. What do you recommend next? I listen to Red nonstop.
Go to Court of the Crimson King, then go to Lark's Tongue and Asperg. Asperg.
All right. Do you ever listen to that Frippatronic stuff?
Yeah, I listen to all of it.
And that, how great, you're seeing that video
you're not ready for that yet, son. Pace yourself.
Have you seen that video where it's like the guys on the acoustic guitar on YouTube, on VH1 back in the day, like just like playing all kinds of crazy frip riffs?
I've seen all of it. Get off my phone. You're driving me nuts. Well-meaning kid, but, best show, hi. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Welcome, Tom.
Welcome to the best show.
Hi, this is Adult Aubrey.
Adult Aubrey.
Yeah, this is the little girl you spoke to just recently. This is actually Adult Aubrey 20 years in the future.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is that how that works?
Yeah, actually, I figured out a way to time travel, so that's kind of how that works.
Well, I'm glad you're putting it to good use. You're using that gift of time travel correctly by calling the same radio show.
Yeah, well, actually, podcasts
are as
big as Netflix shows now.
I don't buy this for a second. I think I recognize the voice of this person. This is a... Do I know this person? Do I know this person?
Yes, me, Aubrey, daughter of JD.
What's your deal? What's your deal?
What's my deal? I gotta talk. I'm about to talk about my crimes. That's why I committed some crimes.
Tell
and
me
now
the
I'm
crimes, Adult Aubrey.
I'm time traveling to tell you the crime.
Yeah, then what's the? Let me hear these crimes, Adult Aubrey.
This is the bit that I've decided to do. So I would appreciate if you could.
Oh, I'm going along with it, Adult Aubrey.
Please.
I have not called you by your real name.
Anyway, remember I was talking about them Samsungs, how they just apped them iPhone poses?
Yeah.
Well, get this, Big T.
Yeah, what's that, Adult Aubrey?
Shortly after my phone call with you 20 years ago.
Yeah, what happened? Phone blew up on your head?
My Samsung phone blew up in my face.
Yeah.
And that's when I took my father's advice to give up.
Yeah. Now, adult Aubrey, can you just help me track some timeline issues here? You're calling you're calling from 2040 now, I'm assuming.
What's it? Was it 2019?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like 2039 you're calling from.
Yeah.
What's going on in the year 2039? Who's the president? Can you tell me that, adult Aubrey?
Well, let me tell you, a little guy named Joe Biden. He's actually currently serving his, what would that be?
Sixth term.
Sixth term, because they changed the rules.
Uh-huh.
After Donald Trump got impeached.
Okay. You were just a little kid when he got impeached. You were in fourth grade.
Yeah, I had no idea what was going on. I was like, what the heck, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that's what it is now. What are you so curious about the time? Who cares? I want to talk about my crime.
Okay, let's talk. Yeah, why would I want to know about the future in terms of just, like, the who's president or anything like that? I want to know what happened after your phone blew up.
All you got to know about the future is that it's exactly the same, but just harder to breathe.
You're very streetwise. Also, you have did you say use?
Yeah.
So you're like a hoodlum now or something. What happened?
Yes, I'm a hoodlum.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
A street tough.
Hmm. Anyway, the Samsung blew up right in my face.
Yeah.
And that's when I decided to turn against the world. And shortly after our phone call, I went out and stole a bunch of iPhone 10s.
Yeah, because you had that iPhone 5.
Yeah.
That your dad got you. But now you have all these iPhone 10s, which must be like collector's items now for you in 2039.
Well, you think, but now that just kind of started off a life of crime, and believe it or not, Tom, yeah. I'm in the Hurt Locker. I'm in the dang jail.
Like a military jail?
Yeah, I'm in military jail. I somehow ended up here after a string of wacky crimes.
You know who you should probably get help from is Jack Reacher. He does a fair amount of defending of military crimes.
Is that from The Office?
No, that's Jack Ryan.
Who's Reacher?
Jack Reacher. Tom Cruise played him in some movies back when you were probably one.
Oh yeah, I was a baby. I couldn't even tell the difference between a phone and an iPad.
Yeah, who knew back then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how simple it was back then? Adult Aubrey.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad I stuck with this bit, I think.
Yeah, I'm glad you came through the other side of it. There were a couple wonky parts, but you got through.
Well,
no, this is a national comedian. This is a national touring comedian. It's very exciting to have on the show the one and only Andy Kindler.
Yeah. Here. Yeah, and a third thing, and a third Aubrey.
He would be like, adult Aubrey should have shown up at my show because it was half full. The show was not crowded, so they gave tickets to the 10 iPhones that she had. iPhone 10. I perform in front of 10 people.
On their phones.
I look, and 10 people are on their phones when I do stand-up. I actually write for him. It's a kind of a fun little thing I'm not supposed to talk about. I write the...
Yeah, I had a feeling.
This is... You can say who you are.
Claire O'Kane.
Claire O'Kane, my friend, and everyone's friend, for that matter. Claire O'Kane, the host of the show that competes with the best show now every week. One of the a live show in New York City now every Tuesday night, direct competition with the best show.
It's biweekly, okay?
Trying to take food off my table with a show called Yoko.
This is true.
Which I'll never see because I'm here.
Well, I don't know. Maybe
I'll quit. Maybe I'll quit.
Maybe just quit.
I might quit. I might be done. This feels vaguely done. I think I'm done, Claire.
Well, you can come be the fourth co-host of Yoko.
Who are the other co-hosts? It's you.
Me and then two men, Ian Fidance and Jake Flores.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just some guys.
Just two men, right?
Yoko. Mm-hmm.
P.U.
Yeah. Stinking up the joint.
I know. But you guys do the thing, and it's funny. Like, who was on the show tonight? Who came by tonight?
Oh, we just had a little somebody named Joe Firestone. Mm.
Very popular comedian.
Joe. And some Casey James Salango, as seen on Comedy Central. It's a bunch of other people.
That's great.
Yeah, it's fun.
Good. I'm glad that it was fun. And what's going on with you?
Well, for the first time in my life, I thought I could do a character, and I think I don't think I'll ever be able to do that again.
No, I liked it. I liked it, and I want more.
No, it was bad. You weren't. First of all, you weren't yes-anding me enough.
Well. First of all, I didn't know it was you necessarily, and I was just like, you've heard the show before, and I'm just like, anybody starts doing a character, I don't automatically just go like, oh goody.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Oh, you're gonna do a character. Oh, this is gonna like anybody calling. It's like, oh, you want to do a character, and I'll be the straight man for it. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you'd sit back and just kind of
tee him up like T-ball, like just keep putting the T-ball like on the T-ball stand. Just put a baseball up there. You swing away, adult Aubrey. Swing through. I'll put another ball on the stand.
You have no idea how confident I was going into it.
Oh, I have a pretty good feeling. Cause you did
it. It was sad.
Did you say to somebody in the room, I'm going to do... Did you say, like, watch this?
No. I'm alone in my kitchen, and my boyfriend is in another room watching Extras.
He's finally getting around to Extras.
We're doing a rewatch.
Rewatch? You're going back through the catalog. Why are you going through so you can just go all the way through the Gervais catalog, get to the new one?
No, not at all. We were inspired by
Derek.
knowing about the new one, and then that reminded us of the good one.
Because then you're just like, he was good once, right? And then you start looking for it, and then you're just kind of like, this guy still reminds me too much of the current guy. Like,
mm-hmm.
Like I don't know if he was ever good, because he has the stink of the current guy still there, hovering.
Yeah, we were trying to track when the stink began.
I think it began during the original Office, actually.
You think?
Yeah, I do. I think it began. I think it began after the second season and before that, the specials.
For the Christmas special,
yeah.
So you think he got all chuffed up?
I think he started to become a little bit of. I remember somebody told me, a friend who was living in England. Said to me,
"Ooh,
I know, right? It was very exciting at the time. I would say, like, what is it really like over there? And what, when the Office was still like on, there was still like they're making new episodes. Like, oh my god, this thing is the greatest. And I would get like DVDs, like burns of DVDs and things.
Yeah,
and then this one friend is just like." He hosts a radio show here, like he was doing like a music thing, I think, at that point. Like he'll like on the and he's like, he is the character. Like I'm saying it right now. He is that's the first time I heard it, and it was like Like, he's kind of that guy. And then I always remembered that, and then I always have filtered everything through that early heads up.
That's a lens I'm glad I didn't have to look through for the last couple of years, because I always enjoyed him.
He's very funny. He is funny. So what? What are you trying to get him to show up at Yoko? Is that why you're saying this now?
He's actively banned from Yoko.
So your kids are doing your show. This is look at this. You know I'm rich, right?
No atheists allowed at Yoko.
No atheists allowed.
Sorry.
Hey, yeah. No way. I like, is that a thing at the door? You vet people?
Yeah. Hey.
You throw holy water on them and see if they start to smoke?
You know, you figure it out. You can sniff them out.
Yeah. Okay. You got your technique. You don't want these people finding out because they'll do workarounds.
Like yeah, exactly.
If you say exactly how you find out that they're atheists, they'll come in, like, prepared. Like, they'll come in wearing, like, a cross or something. And they'll probably...
Yeah. Instead of, like, a Why So Serious t-shirt.
Yeah.
They'll leave that at home.
Yeah. So what's going on, Claire O'Kane?
Not much. I'm a little disappointed that I sent you a birthday message that I worked upwards of 10 minutes on, mm-hmm. and you did not respond.
I did not? Hold on. Take care of it right now. And that's right. Claire has my number. She wrote in all caps, "What's up?" and sent a picture
Before WhatsApp.
Sent a picture of what's his face from The Sopranos, the guy who got shot at a plane with his choo-choo trains.
Is it Steve Sciarippa?
Steve Sciarippa.
And I said, "Happy birthday, Tom Sciarippa-ling." And then it's a picture of Steve Sciarippa with a great Sopranos message.
Yeah, it was very sweet. I just replied to it. I just replied, thank you for this.
Yeah.
Thanks. I'm sorry. I'm glad you publicly had to shame me with that I didn't reply to a text. I think this is the right forum for this.
This is the only time I would ever... It wasn't just a text, okay? Uh-huh. I used an app to make this.
Okay. Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Who else shows up in your thing? Adam ruins everything. Does he show up and do stand-up every once in a while at your thing?
I'm sure he could. He's actually, I think, in town ruining stuff at a show.
Yeah, he's ruining New York. Hey, New York's the best city ever. Actually, it kind of isn't. What? I saw that, like, look, that guy seems like a very nice guy. Jason claims to have worked with him at one point. Jason said he was like his improv teacher or something. We'd never gotten proof on that. But then he'll do these things on his show where it's just like these like false arguments. He'll be like, somebody be like, "Hey, bacon is the greatest. Actually, it's not that good for you." It's like, what? Mm-hmm. Nobody thought it was good for you. "Hey, bacon is the healthiest food ever. Actually, it's not very healthy." And it's like, come on, Alan. You can't ruin that because nobody believes it. Nobody knows. Everybody knows bacon's not the healthiest food. He's running out of things to ruin.
Yeah, he's ruined pretty much just about everything.
Yeah,
Alan. He hasn't ruined podcasts though yet.
And speaking of podcasts, Mike and Jason, can I say that you did that show? Mike and Jason did an appearance on a podcast that this kid does, who is a listener to this show and a caller. Laundry Time. Laundry Man? What's his name? Laundry Man with Brent Daniels.
Oh,
And it, no, wait, no. Brett or Brent? Brett. Brett Daniels.
No, Brett Davis.
The guy from Spoon.
Brett Davis.
The guy from Spoon. Brit.
No.
No, he's Brit. Who's the guy in Flight of the Conchords? That's Brett, but he says Brit. He says Brit, but it's Brett. This guy is Brent, but you say Brett. Daniels, Laundryman. Brett Laundryman Daniels and his Laundryman podcast.
Yeah.
And Jason and Mike did a turn on that. And is it funny? Mike said it's not very good. So.
Wow. Huh.
It's a weird thing for him to say. So yeah, so everybody check out Brent Laundryman Daniels and his Laundryman podcast. Special guests, Jason Gore and AP Mike. And your podcast, Claire O'Kane, where are we at with that?
I feel like I haven't done it in, upwards of 4 months.
Okay.
But who knows? Maybe it'll come back.
Yeah, maybe.
We'll see. The whole point of it is talking in a park, and it's been too cold to be outside, so.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
You might have boxed yourself in on that concept a little bit.
And I'm okay with the box.
That's fine. That's fine. You're like a mime. You're okay being trapped in a box.
A box of my own making.
You ever do any mime work? You get the hands up, like you feel like you're in the box, like, oh, I'm in the box. I'm in the box.
Or the wind.
The wind.
All of a sudden it's windy.
Yeah. Would you allow a mime to perform at Yoko, your stand-up comedy special?
Oh, absolutely.
What if I went and did my did some of my topical material at it? Like I got a fair amount of Full House jokes now with the woman from Full House.
Mm-hmm.
And Felicity Huffman, they got hauled off today.
Yeah, that's great. That's super topical. Can you give me a taste?
Yeah, it's like, I guess, and that's the voice I do when I'm on stage. Yeah, hi. Like, I guess, what's the woman from Full House's name?
I'm afraid, I don't know.
Dory Loughlin. Yeah, so I heard Dory Loughlin and Felicity Huffman cheated to get their kids in school. Nice one.
Okay.
That's it.
Nice one was the punchline?
Yeah. I was watching the Shape of Water the other day, and this fish goes and he's running around and then he bites Michael Shannon's fingers off. And I'm like, yeah, right.
Okay.
Thoughts?
You know what? Send us a tape.
Send us a tape.
And then I'll try to get our producer to email you back as soon as possible. But,
Yeah, so I heard Dory Loughlin and Felicity Huffman got arrested because they cheated getting their kids into school. I guess maybe they should have gone to school to learn about you don't cheat. Nice one.
Oh, okay. So you're kind of like a catchphrase guy.
Yeah, I am. Kind of like Laundry Man. That's my laundryman thing, because he's always like, and I'm the laundryman.
That's right? Actually true. He does do that.
Yeah. So if I did that, and then I think I could probably kill it at Yoko, right? If I did that.
Yeah.
So I was watching The Green Book the other day.
Oh, no.
I'm actually writing a Green Book now. You know what a green, in the movie, the Green Book is a place, like, it was a book that, like they oh, call yeah. it that because it's like a book that would be for, like, people who, people of color who could, there were safe places they could go to and mm-hmm. you know, and eat and stay. But I'm actually working on an updated Green Book now. It's for safe places where people who like the movie Green Book can go. And not have to go to a restaurant and have people say, I think the movie The Green Book sucks.
Hmm.
So it's for that. Okay. I wouldn't do that on stage, though. I feel it's a little too hot.
So all those places would probably be, like, in New Jersey.
It would be, like, restaurants you know you could go into. Hotels you know that they'll play Green Book on the... Like, on demand, you can rent the Green Book. It's any hotel you'd stay at has the Green Book available, either as a as an on demand or maybe a physical copy of the of the of the like a Blu-ray or even like the script. You could perform the Green Book.
I would appreciate a script of Green Book in every side table. Like in if, hotels yeah. around the country.
Like, yeah. Like if some chain, like if suddenly, if Sheridan announced in all their hotels, there will be a copy of the Green Book script in the night table. And you can, and that you can perform in the lobby. They will have nightly performances of the Green Book. And you just come downstairs with your script.
Great idea, Tom.
There you go, Claire O'Kane. Put that one in your show and smoke it.
What the?
All right. I hope to see you soon. Thank you for the birth. Thanks for shaming me for not replying to your birthday wishes publicly. I appreciate that. Really, really the spirit of saying happy birthday to someone is also punishing them if they don't reply to the birthday with it's
you've been roasted.
You roasted me. And everyone likes the roasts now too. What's that about? Like is there ever gonna be like a Yoko roast night?
That's actually a really good idea.
Yoko roast night, right?
Yeah.
Look out. Right, you gotta have a siren. Right, yeah. We're bringing a little bit of the creek and cave to Yoko tonight. A little bit of that tood. A little bit of that Long Island City tood.
We love the LIC at Yoko.
The roast night. Yeah, I think it's a great, I think Yoko, call it, what would you call it? Yoko Roasto, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yoko.
Maybe. Oh, no, it's roast night.
Yeah.
What have you called that? Yoko, oh, no, it's roast night.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's roast night.
Yoko, oh, no, it's roast night at Yoko. Just, not too wordy. Yoko, no, oh, no, perfect. It's roast night at Yoko.
No, roast culture is in and hopefully here to stay.
Roast culture's in. Friendship out.
Yeah, that's why I roasted you about that birthday. I'm not your friend anymore. Because of that, I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a ship.
Yeah, and then I just fall through the floor opens up and I just fall through because I lost the roast battle. Yeah. Have you done roast battles? Have you done that?
I've done what are those called when you, I guess just single roast, directed at one person roast.
Okay, who was the honor, the subject?
I once roasted Shane Smith, the creator of Vice Media,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
at an event, and yeah. my fellow roasters were Fred Armisen as a character.
Okay. You didn't do Grown Up Aubrey at this, did you?
No, this is pre-Grown Up Aubrey.
Okay.
Johnny Knoxville.
Okay.
And
your friend Johnny Knoxville.
The head of HBO.
So you went to a roast, and you.
And me.
Yeah.
And the whole audience were the heads, executives of major cable networks. And Shane was the person they were honoring for some reason. And I was asked to do it, and it was insane.
It's funny how like you roast somebody who like has like $1 billion and then they're mm-hmm. just like, eh, you're stupid. And he just goes, oh, you got me. Like somebody who just won and is not sweating anything can just go like,
yeah, it's all good fun. It's all fun and games.
Yeah.
And then I got to take the bus home.
Yeah. Oh, you got me. You got me. And meanwhile, you're just like running after the bus 45 minutes later.
Sneaking onto the bus.
Yeah. And he's like on his helipad. He's on his helipad wondering which chopper to get into. Claire O'Kane at Baby's First Gun. I say to you, thank you for calling. It was very nice to talk to you. You call me anytime
nice
you want.
Nice to talk to you. Right. I'll talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Bye.
That was nice. The national act, Claire O'Kane. You like that, Mike? This whole thing with this college thing. So I guess they like cheated to get like their kids into school. It's like, I don't know. Who cares? School's for suckers. If I had to do over again, I for the longest time, I'm like, oh, I didn't go to a good school. Well, I care. I should have just got to work. She just started shoveling rocks at 18. No one's ever asked me what school I went to, ever. Like, it's like if you didn't in the entertainment biz, it's like either you went to Harvard or you went to like the UCB theater or whatever else you did. Like, that's it. It's like, did you go to Harvard or did you go to, what school did you go to learn improv? Or, hey, good for you. Best show.
Hey there, Tom. Can you hear me?
I can. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Nico from Delaware, and yeah, I'm definitely a perpetrator of a tiny crime.
Yeah.
I interrupted you earlier, and I just want to apologize to you and the whole crew.
Well, it's all right. I appreciate you trying to be a solid citizen and clear up. You blew it, and you're trying to straighten things out.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I really felt really guilty, and, you know, you've already been having a tough time with the pizza thing and everything at the 65 cents, and...
You don't worry about it, buddy. You don't worry.
Well, thank you. You know, that's a real load off. That's a real load off. Thank
you
so much.
You have a great night. Take a load off, Nico.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Definitely. Thank you.
Bye. Pat, you have any small crimes? Any small crimes happen to you?
I think so.
He played his dumb commercial.
No, it's not dumb. It's great.
No, it was very dumb. It was extremely dumb.
No, I mean, I didn't mean to be hurtful with it. It's a great commercial.
There's literally no way you could be hurtful in this.
Super Shoes. And don't forget, you can get your hunting license at Super Shoes, too. Don't get caught without yours this year. With brand names like Rocky, Browning, and Timberland, at discounts to 10 to 50%, Super Shoes can outfit you for the nastiest of weather this season. So when the crazy old woman has you in her crosshairs, don't freeze up. Keep warm with Super Shoes and Christian.
I mean, did you just picture there's a dead old lady now?
See, now, here's the thing. Until tonight,
yeah.
I thought I was the one being shot in that commercial.
Okay.
I thought the old woman was the one that pulled the trigger.
Well, you're saying don't freeze up. It means pull your gun out.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until tonight. And I do kind of feel terrible about it.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Mike.
Yeah.
That's sick, right?
Yeah.
It's what?
Sick venal.
Yeah, it is. That's sinful, actually. Actual sinful. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel terrible.
Well, it's all right.
But she was 95. She had a good life.
Pat.
Yeah.
Do you have a thing? A thing for the show?
You know, I think we've covered a lot of them in the show's history of scheming and shows and the schemer talks, and I mean,
mm-hmm.
as you can imagine, there's plenty more of those stories. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think when I was a kid, maybe where some of that originated. Probably my older sister,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and being like, "Hey, you know, we could do this instead of that."
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Very cagey.
Yeah.
We could do this instead of that.
Mm-hmm.
Still dancing around the thing. Yeah, do this instead of that. It's like Goodfellas.
It is.
Well, look. You did the one, my favorite one you did is when you did a full Mentos. You Mentosed your way into that Bob Dylan concert.
Yes.
In Hoboken.
The Americana Music Festival.
Where you showed up and you just had a, how did you dress?
I dressed like Crew. And I just walked in holding a cardboard box, an empty cardboard box. And I was dressed in, I guess, what they call show black.
Okay, yeah.
Black polo.
Yeah.
Black jeans.
Yeah.
Black shoes and a black hat. And then I had a bunch of various lanyards that I
just
accumulated over the years.
And you just had a cardboard box.
Cardboard box.
With nothing in it.
Nope. I rode my bike from Jersey City to Hoboken to the park grounds where they had it, and I passed by, I forget what the company is, but they make coffee right by Observer Highway, and I was like, I bet I could just put mm-hmm. this box,
uh-huh.
pull the box, a used box out of the garbage, I could fold it under my arm, assemble it when I get there, and just put it on my shoulder and uh-huh. act like it's really heavy. Yeah.
Full Mentos treatment. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. Like you like them. What if somebody was like, you're trying to Mentos us?
I'd run in as fast as I could. Yeah. But, yeah.
And then no, that's spectacular. But that's one I'm going to say. That's a teeny crime.
It's a teeny crime. I actually got caught. I think the last time I ever snuck in to anything was when The Force Awakened.
Mm-hmm.
When that came out in theaters, yeah. and I just couldn't go, and I couldn't get a ticket, I couldn't uh-huh. go, I couldn't, and so I was so frustrated that I was like, I'm just gonna sneak in,
mm-hmm.
and there will be a seat because somebody's not gonna show up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I snuck in, and they caught me immediately, and I had already uh-huh. bought like a popcorn
uh-huh.
and like a so big you, drink.
When you were sneaking in, how did you sneak in? You just powered through.
Yeah, I just like there was a lot of at the Newport Mall here in Jersey mm-hmm. City. I don't know if you've ever gone to that one. There's a lot of like you can still make it over to the snack area.
Okay, without a ticket.
Without a ticket, and then like there's enough confusion going on where you can go through the exit and have them not. And I thought, well,
so you thought.
Actually, purchasing snacks was part of the plan because I was uh-huh. like, oh, I'll have a bunch of snacks,
yeah,
and they're not going to think. anything's wrong with this with this single person going into a theater by himself. I was alone.
Yeah.
I think it was actually before a Best show too. I was trying to like fit it in that window of like 6 p.m. showing or something.
Uh-huh. And then you
I got caught. So I watched the another part was it was the 3D screening.
Okay.
And I was clearly the only one without the glasses, but I was in a weird panic. I was like, "Okay, next part is I'll get my seat, I'll put all the snacks down, then I'll double back to one of the, you know, garbage cans that are sanctioned for 3D glasses, and I'll just fish one out.
Yeah, yeah.
No problem.
I'll buy you a ticket to the movies if this is a thing.
It was a time.
If this is a thing, I'll just ask me. Say you want to go to the movies rather than fish dirty 3D glasses out of a garbage.
It was a different, Tom, I'd like to go
to the movies.
Okay.
Can you buy me a ticket to the movie so I don't have to fish used 3D glasses out of the can, out of that box that everybody drops them in.
Covered in popcorn butter.
You know, in other countries, you buy 3D glasses and you bring your own to the theater.
That's way smarter.
You could also do that. You could also go get your own here, too.
Well, I didn't want to see it in 3D. I wanted to see it in 2D. And 2D was sold out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was just like, I can figure this out. Someone's not going to go. I didn't figure it out. Then I was so stressed when I got caught, and I had this giant popcorn and soda. And I paid for parking too, because it's like a mall in a city. So like, there was a parking lot. I was so stressed. I got back in the car and I tried to drive to the other mall-based theater in Jersey City on Route 440. And I tried to make that, and I got stuck in traffic. I was just like, you know, I was like at my worst. I couldn't get to this movie. And you know, in hindsight, I'm like, it wasn't even that good or worth it. But it was the frustration of being denied every chance I had to try to see it.
Yeah.
And, like, it always being sold out or something always happening. And I was just, like, you know, falling down in this weird motion of it. But
you should talk to Mike. He'll get you. He's got connects in Bayonne. Any movie you want.
Yeah.
He'll just get it. It'll just be out of trunk. It might be a little wobbly, the framing of The Force Awakens.
Right.
Right, Mike?
Yeah.
What movies can you get? Anything new from your guy?
It usually takes a couple
of
weeks. There's a
two-week
lag.
Uh-huh.
But I would believe that same guy has Force Awakens, like, in his file somewhere.
Oh, right? No, I'm sure. Well, Mike, what's the latest thing you got from him? You got it. Can You Ever Forgive Me? That one? Yeah.
Great movie, too. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, too, Mike. It's a good movie. I could have lent you my screener of it 5 months ago. Great. Yeah. You know what I think I might do? I'm thinking we're going to wrap it up now. It's 11:40. Let's wrap up the show. Best Show will be back next week. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Yeah. The show is what the show is. The show ends when the show ends. I know what I like. In your wardrobe. Getting bitter. Let's play something, one of my favorite records, Meg Baird and Mary Lattimore. It's Ghost Forest record. It's great. Let's play something from that. What label's this on? Three Lobed? Is this on Three Lobed? I think it is. Hold on. Let's see. Yeah. Three Lobed. Great label. This record is fantastic. Came out last year. We're going to listen to In Cedars. And Best Show will be back next week.